start that. I don't know if it'll pick me up or not.
Figure out a school.
Y'all may want to move, I don't know. So I was thinking about what to say today, and I had a really hard time honing in on anything. Okay, rule number one of preaching is don't preach about your process. It's not on? Let me see. Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, there it is. Rule number one of preaching is don't talk about your process of writing your sermon, so I'm going to go ahead and break that right now. You know, I just had a terrible time honing in on anything for this sermon today. And I was thinking about it, and, you know, I will often make a list of possible topics when I start off. And my list was, you know, 15 items long or something. And for just the news of this past week, there was a bombing in Manchester. There were attacks on Coptic Christians in Egypt. Let's see, did I write them all down? We could talk about Memorial Day. There was an article in the news about the first women graduating from infantry combat training, which is an interesting thing to happen just before Memorial Day. There's also a lot for us personally. There have been graduations. Morgan, the daughter of me and Jackie, graduated from college last Sunday. Yay! I know that there were some people that graduated themselves this week. Robbie, give a hand. Yay! And other high schoolers that are about to graduate. And I'm sure I don't even know who all those are, but I'm trying to collect some names so we can recognize them, by the way. And then for this congregation, you know, it's really been, if you are a regular here, and I apologize, we do have a lot of visitors today, I think, so bear with us. For this congregation, it's kind of been, we've been on that roller coaster with Jesus since Palm Sunday, and, you know, not only Holy Week and Easter, but we had two baptisms on two Sundays. We had a funeral on a Sunday, and there's just been a lot going on. And so I've found that I'm just kind of still taking all that in and kind of still processing it. Now, this past Thursday, this is going to be modeled a little bit on the kind of sermon I would do with the kids on the weekday morning for school chapel. Who knows what this past Thursday was on the church calendar? Raise your hand. Robbie.
The Ascension.
The Feast of the Ascension. And the Feast of the Ascension is one of the seven principal feast days of the Episcopal Church. Because weekday attendance is not so great anymore, there aren't too many churches that still have an observance of the Feast of the Ascension. But I think it's worth mentioning that. Because, of course, Ascension Day is how many days after Easter? Which day of Easter? 40th day of Easter, yeah. And then coming up is another of the seven most important feast days in the church, which is next Sunday, which is
Pentecost.
So Ascension is the 40th day of Easter, and Pentecost is the 50th day of Easter. So what I ended up thinking about was, you know, and I've preached actually on Ascension at a church that did have a service on Ascension. I've preached on Easter 7, which is today, the 7th Sunday of Easter. I should have asked you that question too. But I've never really like put those three things into conversation. And so it finally occurred to me that here there's this 10-day period between Ascension and Pentecost where, okay, Jesus is gone. He's ascended into heaven. And the Holy Spirit hasn't yet been bestowed on the disciples, depending on which gospel you read. And so there's a little bit of a complication in that we heard a reading from Acts, which is a continuation of Luke, we sometimes call that Luke Acts, and another reading today from John, in which those two stories don't totally match up. So we're going to go with both of them today. We're going to start with Acts and assume that this is sort of correct, that there was a 10-day period when Jesus was ascended and the Holy Spirit had not been bestowed. The apostles had not yet experienced the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit. And Acts tells us in the reading today, where did the disciples go after Jesus ascended into heaven? Does anybody remember that from the reading today? Ooh, this is a tough question. They went back to the upper room where they had gone to hide after Good Friday. So I think it's kind of interesting that they're depicted as going back to the village. And I find that a little comforting in a way, because they must have needed to find their people and to find a safe place. But I think, what were they doing? The gospel, the reading from Acts says that they were praying. If you read a little farther, you'll find out that they do go, and Peter gets them inspired to replace Judas, the 12th disciple who betrayed them. So they picked two finalists and then drew lots to decide which one of them was going to get the job. But other than that, you have that brief story, and then it's Pentecost. So basically, the disciples are basically left in that upper room for 10 days praying together. So I just wonder, you know, what do you think about what they might have been praying about or doing or thinking? Does anybody want to pop in? Don't be shy.
I think they're asking, what are we going to do without him?
I think they're asking, what are we going to do without him? Yeah, sure. Praying for him to return quickly. I think pretty much that's it. And I think that's kind of where we are right now. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. It's been given to us. It was given at Pentecost, and it's still here. But there are still those kind of in-between times. And I think that this period, this 10-day period, is maybe a good time to remember those in-between times. When maybe, you know, we're like, well, Jesus, he's not quite as nearby as we would like him to be, and maybe the Spirit's not speaking quite as loudly as we want the Spirit to speak. And then what do we do about that? And I think that model of finding that safe place and finding our people is actually pretty helpful. And I think that's one of the reasons that I need to have a community of faith in which to worship, to have fellowship, to have solace, to have joy, comfort, to have all those experiences that are so human. I think part of why this is, the timing is really good for us now, if we imagine us in that time with the disciples, is because there's been so much going on, both liturgically, in people's lives, job changes. I just looked at someone who I know has had a job change. You know, there's just, the world is full of change, and I think this time of year is an especially change-filled time. We see it around us in nature, and we see it in good ways, thank goodness. But change is always hard, no matter how it comes to us. Yes, there was also a marriage yesterday, and we'll talk a bit more if you want to. So I was on vacation last week, which is probably why I'm preaching this sermon a little bit differently, because it felt like I was away for months, and it's definitely time for me to come back. But after a few busy days of graduation, getting a kid on the plane to Ireland, and I was off on Thursday, which happened to be the Feast of the Ascension. And I spent most of the day sitting at my back door with the slider open, and there are bird feeders just right outside, and listening to birds. And it was mostly those darn starlings. Yeah, also known as rats with wings. But I could not be angry with the starlings, because the starlings had baby starlings with them. And for all that I rue the sight of an adult starling, those baby starlings were pretty darn cute. And they followed the parents around squawking. It was so loud. And even this morning, Jackie said, oh, there are two of them out there following a parent right now. And so it's interesting that, you know, the parent just gives them a little attention and then walks away. And gives them a little more attention and then walks away. And it kind of seems like a bit of a metaphor for how Jesus and God are in our lives at times, that, you know, we get these hints, we get these helps, but we're also left on our own. And you know, that's okay, because God is giving us the opportunity to pray and ponder and think about what's next. You know, following Pentecost is going out and doing things with the Spirit. You know, what we're going to be revived on Pentecost, and then we decide how we're going to go out in the world and act on that. But right now, that's not what we are. We're really kind of in this quieter place. Our bishop, Laura Ahrens, likes to talk about discipleship versus apostleship. And it's not a totally clear distinction, But the way she would talk about it is that discipleship is kind of learning how to follow the ways of Jesus kind of here, while apostleship is learning how to take those ways out in the world. And so I think, you know, apostleship is post-Pentecost. And what we're here doing now is really putting together those pieces of discipleship. You know, we're kind of trying to, as I see it for myself, is putting all the pieces of what Jesus has taught us and what Jesus has left us with, putting all those things together and figuring out what does that mean for us as followers of Jesus. You know, how do we interpret his teachings? How do we understand how God might be working in our lives? And so I think taking that time, whether it's between Ascension and Pentecost or at some other time, is really important. And it's really kind of an interesting, kind of a resting spot. You know, we spend the church year, starting with the beginning of Advent, in these different phases of anticipation and repentance, and yet this place is really different. It's not quite Advent. You know, we're not waiting for our salvation to come. It's happened. And so, you know what? How do we interpret that? You know, what does that mystery look like for us in our lives? I had a conversation with a young person after the funeral service for Marge a couple weeks ago, and this young person was really upset that Marge had died. And it was horrible that Marge died. She died way too young. It was really shocking for many of us. And what we talked about a little bit was, it's okay to be angry. And, you know, it's okay that you find your spiritual path where you find it. You know, I hope that she finds comfort in Christianity and that she looks at some things and ends up being a faithful Episcopalian for the rest of her life. And, you know, this is also a time for all of us to imagine what is our spiritual life look like. Because I think even my interest is that everyone find a spiritual path that works for you. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately too, because we do have a day school here where only a small sliver of kids are Episcopalian, and a slightly bigger sliver of kids are Christian. And so what does that mean to an Episcopal church? What does it mean to be an Episcopal school in this context? And I think in some ways it's not so different as being an Episcopal church in the broader context of our lives, that we have learned how to have interfaith dialogue, we've learned how to appreciate other faiths. We still hang on to ours, and it still is the way for me and for all of you gathered here. And we always, I think, still have some things to do in integrating all of that with our life in the world, and especially with understanding how we talk about that in the world. I have been trying to evangelize people wherever I go, and I notice occasionally people smiling and laughing about that, and, you know, that's okay. You know, I think that's one of the things that really is really incumbent upon us to do at this point in time, is to figure out how to say what our faith means to us and what it means to express that faith. So that's kind of a lot. I'm not really giving you any answers as much as encouraging you to sit with some of those questions. I also have no idea how long I've talked. But I wanted to talk a little bit briefly about this notion of glory. In our collect of the day, you heard us addressing the God of glory. And in the reading from Peter, we talk about if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. From John, the power has come, glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And so that idea of glory as being honor, renown, splendor, the idea of making that honor, renown, and splendor known in the world. And so I like to think that God's glory emanates from all of us, and that we are reflections of God's glory that comes from God, comes from all of you. And I'd love to remember that. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. I have to remind myself of that for myself, for the people that I come into contact everywhere, in stores, on the street, wherever we find them. And I want to read a couple of quotes from Nadia Bolz Weber. Who's heard of Nadia Bolz Weber? She's a current writer. She is a Lutheran pastor who came to that calling via a very circuitous route. She was originally a stand-up comedian. She is a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. And she became a Lutheran pastor and started a church called the House for All Sinners and Saints. And it's got quite a congregation. She has quite a following. She's very well known in the kind of contemporary church writings world. Her first book was called Pastrix, and it's about being a woman pastor. And her new book is called Accidental Saints, Finding God in All the Wrong People. And she writes this from that book. What makes us saints of God is not our ability to be saintly, but rather God's ability to work through sinners. God wants you, you in your imperfect, broken, shimmering glory. And then another quote. To say, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, is to lay our hope in the redeeming work of the God of Easter as though our lives depended on it, because they do. It means that we are an Easter people, a people who know that resurrection, especially in and among the least likely places, is the way that God redeems even the biggest messes that we make. So I'll leave her with not quite the last word, but would encourage you all to think about this period between Ascension and Pentecost, and to let yourselves ponder and pray and fret and wonder when Jesus will come back and what we can do to help that happen, and address your own fears about what's next, and be ready for Pentecost, when hopefully all those questions will, if not be answered, at least will be put aside as we experience the glory of God and the blessing of Easter. Amen.
Was it? Savior is resurrected from the dead, bringing renewal for Christians across the earth. With joyful gratitude, we pray for the church and for the world, saying, Risen Christ, hear our prayer.
We pray for the universal church. God the ministers as they honor the traditions of the past, to the care of Christ, and to the communities of the future. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the leaders of the world. Plant wisdom and compassion in their hearts, and teach them to sow seeds of righteousness and mercy. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for your abundance. Continue to reveal its bountiful complexity and fragility and inspire us to safeguard these gifts for all posterity. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this whole gathering of the faith. Strengthen us to continue in the way of the apostles. Proclaim the good things of God and Christ. Seek and serve Christ in all persons. And strive for justice and peace among all people. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are discerning God's call today, especially our patron, Catherine, Sarah. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those whose lives are changed by minds. Give strength and courage to our sufferers and turn the hearts of all who are here.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need or trouble. Feed the hungry, tend the sick, relieve the weary, bless the dying, and soothe the suffering. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who die, that in Christ's triumph over death, and bring them to your perpetual life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are now named before you, in your silent name, O Lord.
Risen Christ, hear the prayers offered by these who are gathered people, instill in our hearts the assurance of your resurrected life, that we may follow your way in faith, hope, joy, and love. In the name of the one holy and undivided Trinity.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.